teaching series which I've titled Thoroughly Furnished, The School of Greatness. Heavenly Father, speak to us. Speak to us in the name of Jesus. The School of Greatness, Thoroughly Furnished. And when we hear greatness in a church service, sometimes there is a tendency to feel like the church is deviating from Christ into motivational speaking. And some people think, oh, the church is here with some motivational jargon again. They want to come and tell us if you aspire to desire, then you refire your acquire. Who knows that thing now? If they aspire to perspire. You know, this kind of stuff. But like I always say, the word of God can motivate, but motivation is not the word of God. Let me say that again. The word of God can motivate a person, but motivational speaking in and of itself does not equate the word of God. Please, are you with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, there is understanding in this house. Your people have thoroughly furnished beginning from today. In the name of Jesus. The things we are about to learn may not sound so deeply spiritual, but if you don't learn them, they will influence your walk with Christ. They can greatly harm and reduce your effectiveness with the Lord and even in your future. Please, are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. So I want to begin by saying greatness is not a man's idea. Greatness is God's idea. Can you say after me, greatness is God's idea? No other person can explain greatness more than God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. God speaking to Abraham, saying, get out of thy father's house, out of thy kindred, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy father's, and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 2. Can you read verse 2 with me? 1, 2, 3, go. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee. You see what I was talking about? And curse him that cursed thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Do you realize that when a man comes in contact with God, there are more people to bless him than those to curse him? I will bless them that bless thee and curse him. So whenever you see somebody trying to fight you or frustrate you, know that there are more people blessing you than that person. Are you with me? That's a place to rejoice. Okay. He says, I will make of thee a great nation. That's verse 2. I will make of thee a great nation. So the idea of a great nation was given to Abraham by God. Abraham was not trying to be great. He was just a random Joe in the land of the Chaldees. And God met him. Get thee out of thy father's house, out of thy kindred, unto a land that I will show thee, and make of thee a great nation. You see that thing in us that knows how to recognize greatness. It was God that put it there. Are you with me? Yes, that guy, I want to do better. Look at this person. That person, that's a great man. That's a great lady there. We see people do big things and we are inspired. That thing within us that admires greatness, it came from God. Please, are you listening to me? Yes, look at Genesis chapter 13 from verse 6. This was the story of Abraham and Lot, when both of them began to increase financially and their cattle and flock began to increase. The Bible says, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was so great. Look at that. So great. And they could not dwell together. Look at Genesis 18, verse 18. Now, Genesis 18, can you start from verse 17? Genesis 18 from verse 17. It says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Verse 18. Everybody read verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. So are you seeing this? God already knew. He said Abraham will become a great and mighty nation. That means the idea of being great and mighty is God's idea. You know, sometimes the church can give you the idea or the religious perspective that if you want to be great, you are not spiritual. Are you with me? If you want to be big, or you are trying to build a big business, or you are aiming for something big, say, you two are big eye, longer throat, you two do. Who knows what I'm talking about? But look at this here. God is the one telling Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed in thee. Look at the word. The word is a testament to the mind of God. Even what they call small river, try and enter it. Have you crossed the ocean before? Or at least you have seen it in the TV. Can you imagine yourself standing in a boat inside that thing? I've been there before. You have that fear that any moment from now, if I just enter. Look at, this is Abuja. Have you passed the hills in Abuja? Have you passed the Aso Villa? Aso Rock? Look at that thing! That mighty thing! God just made it as a fanciful. What is he doing? What's the purpose of a rock? What's the economic value of that rock? Just to show that this is how I am. I like doing big things. He just kept it and left there. The hand that made that thing, when they say the hand of God is upon your life, you think it's a joke? I thought you, so you have practiced, say, the hand of God is upon my life. So, greatness is not a strange idea to God. I know the world has warped it and made a disgrace out of worldly greatness. But there is true greatness in the Lord. Are you with me? Now, I read those scriptures to show you that greatness is part of the fabric of God's DNA. But guess what? I want to show you something even more serious. Not more serious, but something you should also consider. The Bible also has records of God recognizing greatness in people who were not connected to him. Even people who were not saved, as it were. Let me show you something. Open to Genesis chapter 10 from verse 8. Genesis chapter 10 from verse 8. The Bible says in Genesis 10 verse 8, and Cush begat Nimrod. So I know some of you have never seen this verse in their Bible. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. Verse 9, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. So, God was able to take note that this guy is a mighty hunter. Are you following this? And guess what? If you read the Bible, if you read down to Genesis 11, this Nimrod was the mastermind behind the Tower of Babel. Nimrod was the one that instigated people to build the Tower of Babel to rebel against God. Nimrod. Are you following me? But God took note that this one was a mighty one. He will die and go to hell if he's not saved. Are you with me? But God will take note. This one, you did mighty things, Shaul, when you were here. Let me show you another one. Genesis 17, verse 20. Say after me, thank you, Jesus. Look at Genesis 17, verse 20. The Bible says, and as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Now, you need to know the story. You know the story about Ishmael, right? Abraham was trusting God for a child, and it was as though God was delaying in bringing Isaac. And so, Abraham's wife advised Abraham, say, you know what? He's not forthcoming with me. Go and sleep with my housemaid, Hagar. And that one, sharp, sharp, bye. The child came. And Abraham was praying to God, you know what? We have Ishmael. Don't need to break your head about Isaac. We are okay. And he was praying that, okay, God accept Ishmael. And God said, no, the covenant is not for Ishmael. I'm not going to put my salvation plan through this strange guy. No, it won't be Ishmael. Are you with me?
Yes,
you know, when you deviate from God's plan and make an error, that error can never become God's plan. Are you with me? That error can never become the will of God automatically. For the fact you have gone far on the wrong path does not now make it the right path. You will still have to come back and retrace your steps again. You see, this month, please, I want to beg you. Today, I'm just setting the foundation. But please, anyone you love, drag them, carry them on your head and bring them to church. Did you hear what I said? So Ishmael was out of the covenant of God. He was not going to be in the lineage of God. It was not going to be Abraham, Ishmael, and Jacob. Does that sound right? No. It is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Abraham, Ishmael. So God did not want Ishmael to be in that lineage, but see what God said about him. So after Abraham pleaded for Ishmael, God said, "And as for Ishmael," verse 20, "I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation." Are you seeing this now? Ishmael was not going to be connected to God, but Ishmael was going to be great. Are you following this? Why is this important? Because when God gave the mandate of dominion to mankind, it was not to the church as at that time. He told all of mankind, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. So, man generally has a strong pull to be great. All men, whether born again or not born again. But you see, if you're not careful, religiosity can destroy that drive for greatness and worldly people will be pushing towards it. Am I talking to you? That's why I want to do this teaching. Praise the Lord. So I want to start like this, or as we continue. Why do so many people desire greatness and don't end up with it? Everyone wants to be great. Everyone has that desire. Everyone wants to be big. Everyone wants to make massive progress. Why is that everyone wants it, but very few people have it? That's what this series is going to be answering. Please pay attention. Are you with me? Are you with me? Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, what I'm going to teach you is what Paul will say, that when you read, you will understand my synesis, my mindset in the gospel of Christ. What I'm going to teach you this month is the inner workings behind what you see, what we do. I told you I got born again in 2005. I've been born again for 20 years. 20 solid. I'm not saying I started attending church for 20 years. I said I've been hearing God, walking with the Lord and casting out devils, following the Holy Ghost for the past 20 years.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Listen. The first reason why is because there are many factors that affect greatness. The reason why many people desire greatness and not so many end up with it is because there are many factors, both spiritual and natural. There are many things we don't know. There are so many factors. So number one, there are many factors. There have to be many factors. And many times people are not meticulous to pay attention to all the factors. Some people know some factors. They don't know all the factors. You need to be careful, not because it is so difficult, but you need to be intentional about it. Some people, they know some factors. For instance, some people know that prayer works. But prayer alone is not the secret of greatness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some people know the factor of giving. But giving alone is not the secret. Some people know hard work. Hard work alone is not the secret. Sometimes you work hard, if you don't pray, you will still fail. Have you not read so hard for an exam and still failed the exam?
Yes, sir.
You read. Oh, my God. Labor. Some factors. Please, are you listening to me?
Yeah.
This teaching, this series, is what I can call a legendary series. Something that, if you accept, will radically shift your life. I thought you say amen. So there are many factors, and people are not meticulous to pay attention to what the factors. Number two is where I'm going to emphasize in this service before we close. Number two, there is a way a man must be to birth greatness. There is a way a man must be. Please, I want you to say after me, there is a way a man and a woman must be to birth greatness. There is a way a man and a woman must be to birth greatness. When you look at people who are great, there are things that must be in the fabric of your life. There are things that if you don't have, as they look at you, they say, the future is not bright, it is black. Please, this particular series, I may not always be nice, though. I may shake some tables. You may leave some services offended, but it's for your good. Please, are you with me? There are laws that govern the emergence of greatness. There are laws. And this is why we coined that term, thoroughly furnished. Thoroughly furnished. You may think that, pastor is making it hard. Even in your own life, there are some things that you know, if it's not in a certain way, it will not work. Let me give you an example. If you have a car and there is a certain key that must open the car, if, for instance, you bring your house key and your house key opened your car, shouldn't you be scared?
Yes, sir.
Just imagine your house key opens your car. You know there is a problem already. If any key can open your car, there is a problem. It has to be a specific key to open that car. If your house can be opened by any key, there's wahala. If your friend, you call yourself, I forgot my key in the office. Your friend has said, try my own and it works. So there must be a certain key. So you may hear this and say, pastor is just making it too hard. But in our lives, the same thing is there. When you cook food, there are some things that if it's in your food, there is a problem. Yeah, people who cook. You are cooking. Somebody does not cut the fish or the chicken well, and that green thing in the liver cuts and pours inside the soup. You still eat it, Abi? No, it's all is good. No, anything can work. It's just about I'm an easygoing person. So there is a way a man must be. Can we open to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16? 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. The Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I know King James says truly. Better put thoroughly. Now, you may say that's the man of God. I'm like, it's falling for the pastor. I know the context here is salvation, but he's telling you that the word of God can make a man of God complete, thoroughly furnished. I like to put it like this, right? You know, it's not just for us carrying mic. That the man trained by God, the woman trained by God, that when they look at you and say, no, this one, you were truly furnished. Unto all good works. Look at King James. He says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped. Say for me, thoroughly equipped. For every good work. He's telling you that anytime you see someone, you see a place, you see a thing with so much good works, there was somebody who was thoroughly dealt with that produced that thing. Let me tell you, our world is a picture of our minds. Whatever you see in the world today is somebody's mind you are seeing. Let me tell you something. If you take everybody in Nigeria, I mean every single soul in this country, to the United States, and bring everybody in the United States to Nigeria, you will discover in 50 years' time, Nigeria will become the next world power, and the United States will become the next Nigeria. Because it's not about the geography. It's not about the land. It's about the minds of the people. Somebody said, Africans were not called black because of the color of their skin, but because of the color of their mind. That's a strong word, Abi. And me, I gave it back to them. It doesn't have to be white to be right. Praise the Lord. He says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let me tell you, this place you are seeing like this, it is somebody's mind. When you see good works, it is a person has been trained in a certain way, exposed in a certain way. You know, I remember in our Port Harcourt church, when I began to buy stage lights and I began to ensure that there was a way I wanted the church to look, somebody met me one day and said, Pastor, is this light not too much? Everywhere, light. You put this one like this. I said, don't worry. There's what I'm seeing. There's a vision I've seen. When we are done, they were like, you know what happened to them? When they now went out and saw that place, they were like, why is other place not like my place? I want to train people that they are used to greatness. That some people have been so exposed to mediocrity that when they stand in front of greatness, they don't even know how to respond. You see the president, just, yes, sir. You help me, sir. Yes, sir. Eh? That's not how to meet kings. That's not how to meet kings. So that's why I've sent some people for evangelism. Those days, they have all changed. Before, when you were evangelism, when you want to give somebody a tract, God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. When the person is driving a big Jeep, God bless you, sir. You're invited, sir. There is a greatness mentality. You know, some years ago, I was invited to be part of convocation celebration from one of my mentees in the high university. She came out with a first class in economics, and I was like her mentor throughout. And so the mom was so overwhelmed with how I mentored her children and all of that, and she wanted me to meet her husband. Her husband is a billionaire in River State. And so it was the meeting in Lagos, and so the hotel where I was supposed to meet the man was not too far away from the school. And so I got to the table, and I think he was a little bit drunk. So he looked at me and said, I heard that you're the one that claimed to have mentored my daughter to make it first class. So I put it to you, you did nothing. And he was doing me like this. You did nothing. And the wife was trying to tell him, Monique. Then I used to run a training, well, I call it a syndicate now. So it sounds like crime. a training, it was called the Success Congress. Uh-huh. I used to train students on how to make 5 points first class. I used to train them how to understand your brain, how to understand your study patterns, all those kind of things. Nobody today. So the guy was looking at me and he said, you did nothing. I don't need anybody to fix my daughter. I don't need anybody. You did nothing. The man looked at me and said, by tomorrow, I'm going to fly all my family members, including that girl you claim to have mentored, to the United States, and they'll be under the American sky. So, you, have you ever left this country before? I felt like you are 56 years old. You are comparing yourself with a 29-year-old boy. As at then, that was my age then. You're comparing yourself. You should even be grateful that a young man of that age has the mind to be mentoring your own daughter. He brought out money and sprayed. But I noticed something. He was shocked that I was not packing money. I just stood, sat there. I was just looking at him on the table. All my guys were just looking at me like. Then he said, tell me about yourself. I began to talk. So my name is David Ognerobo. I'm privileged to be the president of the Success Congress. I have this vision that I've put together. So I was talking. All his other political friends said, that guy is making sense. This guy is making sense. He said, it's not making any sense. This guy is making sense. When it was at a point, he brought out more money, spread the money again. I just looked at him. When I couldn't take it anymore, I stood up. I dragged his hand. I said, my name is David Ognerobo. We will meet soon. I left. The mother ran and said, so please, I hope you're not angry. I said, no, you know. You don't meet greatness and you are thinking beggar. Don't be urgent 2K. Urgent 2K, I beg. As I see, 1K like this, it is spread like this. Oh, Coletto. Hold on. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. You know what I'm trying to show you? Before we talk about other factors that affect greatness, there is a way the man must be. There is a way the man is the raw material. The man himself is the raw material. There must be things that must be in your makeup. There must be things that must be in your mindset. There must be things that must be in your structure. You must be a certain kind of person. Let me tell you, if they like, let them give you all the cars, all the money, no matter what they give you, you will use it to who you are. If you bring a 5-liter container and pour 1,000 liters inside, it's all the other 995 will pour out. What will remain is 5. The man, the person, the man. I'm saying all of these things because God is, by the grace of God, God is using me to raise a ministry. They should look at our people and say, we know where you're coming from. When you look at it, we know. When I was in the university, when I used to go for Congress meetings, when they see us, they say, we know David's boys. They say, oh, okay, Nerobos people leave them. When we dress our corporate suits, tie. When your mates are playing PS4 and playing, we are talking about serious things. When you see the way they are dressed, even the ladies. A time came when they wanted to choose students for senior union government. They will come and meet me. Say, please give us some of your... When I was in 500 level, all the best students in the entire university were my proteges. I mean, all the first class, 5 points, everybody that was the best, you would trace them to me. Everybody. With all sense of humility. The first factor to address is the man. The man. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. It says, I returned. I want to show you something. Please put it on the screen. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. 9:11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor battle to the strong, neither bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. There is a way we have read the scripture in the past that makes us think that time and chance happens to everybody. That one day your time is coming. There are some people, they don't have any time coming. He's telling you that time and chance happens to them all. Who are the them all in this context? The sweet, the strong, the wise, men of understanding, men of skill. It is when you are a man of skill, a man of understanding, you are a wise man, you are strong, you are swift, you can now begin to pray for time and chance. Yes, sir. Did you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Because let me tell you something. Even if time and chance happens to a man without skill, it counts for nothing. Did you hear what I said? Yes, sir. Oh my God. Okay, David, I want to see the king. You finally get into the palace. Okay, what will you give the king? Say, I just wanted to see the king. Okay, you have seen the king. You will go out. But when David, I want to see the king. What can you give the king? I will play my harp and the king will be delivered. You will stay. Are you with me? So that opportunity can only favor a man that has a skill to offer. Are you with me? Time and chance only happens to them all. One day I go blow. With what? What we blow? It's not just an empty thing that we blow. What will blow? You know, if you read the Bible is replete with this thing. You know? The Bible says in Mark 11 that Jesus was passing and met a fig tree. And he wanted to eat from that tree. Listen, he wanted to eat from the tree. But there was no fruit on the tree. And the Bible said why there was no fruit. He said there was no fruit on the tree because it was not yet time for figs. Then Jesus now cursed it. Baba, why are you the vex? It's not time for fruits. You are not angry the tree is not bringing fruit. Why are you angry? Then you curse the tree. You know what Jesus is saying? I know your time has not come, but even where you are, produce something. I know you have not blown yet, but where you are, there must be signs that you will eventually blow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? 6 years ago, when New Breed was started, I said I made up my mind that any day and anywhere I carry the mic to speak to people, even if it is five people, let nobody listen to me and think that I wasted his time. And with all sense of humility, that has been the experience. Let nobody listen to me and feel like, why did I even come? No. Even if there is no light, no instruments, nothing, just you sat down and I'm talking. As I'm talking like this, are you with me? When I noticed that it was working, even in the university, I remember, we'll finish chapel service, I'll just be sharing something with somebody. Somebody will come and sit and say, that thing you are saying, it makes sense. Another person will come and sit down. Another person will come. After a while, they are five. After a while, they are ten. Are you guys what I'm saying? Time and chance happens to only a group of people. Only this kind of people. You say, that guy just ran into a hotel door, and before you know, something happened. There are something that we never see him. Even if they see him, it does not mean anything. Highest, they will take picture. Like, don't blow. Like, nothing blow. Nothing. Now, I want to show you another one. God. I'll be fast in Jesus' name. Genesis 2, verse 4. I hope, trust God to be able to round up from there, then we'll pray. Genesis 2, verse 4. The Bible says, in Genesis 2, verse 4, it says, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Verse 5. And now, can we all pay attention to verse 5? Can we read it together, everybody? 1, 2, 3, go. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. Wait. He's telling you that God created the plant of the field before it came out in the earth. He's telling you that every herb of the field was already created before it ever showed on the earth. Please pay attention. Do you know what this means? I thought the book of Genesis chapter 1 says, and God said, let the trees grow, and it was so. You would think that when God said it was so, it was already growing. He's telling you that even when it had not grown, God said it was so. Where was it? It was in the spirit. All those times God was saying, let the earth bring forth grass, and it grew. He's saying that it was not come out physically, it was in the spirit or somewhere else. Please, are you with me? Because this is chapter 2. Chapter 2 is explaining chapter 1. Every plant of the field before it was in the earth. God created every herb of the field before it grew. That means when God said everything in chapter 1, there were some things that even though God said and he saw it was good, it had not happened. That's telling you the power of speaking faith too. Well, that's thoughts by the side. Now, why was it that God had said it and it had not happened? I'm going to show you why now. He says, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. Why had the rain not come? Because there was not a man to till the ground. So, the reason why God did not rain upon the earth so that the plants would grow out was because there was no man available to till the ground. Oh my God. It means there are things that God has said and sealed about your future, but become a certain kind of man, no rain will come for it to grow. God will wait until a man is formed first. Are you with me? God will wait until you become a certain kind of man before the rain will come and bring out the things that he has said about your future already.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Now, when it was getting close for a man to be formed, you will see what happened. Verse 6. It says, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Verse 7. And the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground. So it was when man was going to be formed that the rain said, it's time. It's time. We are getting close. It's time for it for us to come out because the man is getting ready. That means as you are preparing, the things God has prepared for you are preparing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to ask you, what kind of person are you? Have you been furnished? I remember when I was praying to God for something and God said, that's the wrong prayer point. Don't pray to me to have this. Pray to be a kind of person that will have this. When you become that kind of person, you will attract that kind of thing to you. Are you with me?
Praise the Lord.
So, as I round up, I want to say three things. Number one, men are looking for better methods, but God is looking for better men. Men are looking for better strategies, but God is looking for better men. Men are looking for better techniques, but God is looking for better men. God is looking for men that he can count on, men that he can rely on. That if I put greatness on you, boom, can you carry it? Let me tell you, for every level of greatness, God has to prepare you. As you're moving into this hall, I discover that when I go to pray, when I see the face of Jesus, he's not so excited. I will pray. His face will show up. He will be showing like he's so excited about the hall. I was asking him, Lord, what's the matter? He said, the hall is the smallest issue right now. The bigger issue is what I want you to get ready for. I said, Lord, what's that? He said, I'm bringing something heavy. Say, my son, prepare. Prepare. Go into prayer and fasting. Go and prepare. Go on. That's what the Lord was telling me. Because I was asking, I went to pray. I said, Lord, we need money. When we had only 11 million, I read I was fasting. Oh, God, send money. Send money now. Send money, oh, God. We want to be. The Lord said, leave that one. I will send money. That's what he told me. He said, leave that one. There is a bigger matter. I want you to prepare. A mighty wave is coming, and I want you to be up in front of it. I've said too much. Let me move on. Okay. That's number one. Number two, you must decide that you will take on the spirit of humility to learn and be thoroughly furnished. Shout them in the name of Jesus. I receive the spirit of humility to learn and be thoroughly furnished in the name of Jesus. Amen. Proverbs 1 verse 5. It says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase in learning and attain unto wise counsels. He said, a man of understanding shall attend unto wise counsels. Do you know what he says? A wise man will hear an increase in learning. Do you realize he not say he will hear an increase in knowing? Meaning he will hear something and it will begin a new process of learning. They tell you, your customers are complaining to you that, ma, the food is so untested. Some might say, no, my food is sweet now. Listen to the feedback. They are telling you that there is something wrong with the food. You are explaining. These are your customers, though. The people that will publicize you to the world. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are people like that. Instead of them to hear and go and find out, why did they complain about my food? They'll say, no, it's because you don't like me. You don't like my face. That's why you still be there. They will not complain again. They will not fight you. They will leave you and go another place. Are you getting what I'm saying? They will leave you. A wise man will hear. They say, sir, this cloth where you sold for me, he like they do like this. He say, no, you don't fast now. Did you measure it well? He say, no, you don't fast. Now lie, I measure away. Now we hear an increase in learning. Some people will be defending themselves. They will keep on defending themselves. Accept that, no, I can be better. I can be thoroughly furnished. I can improve this business. I can improve my mind. I can. Are you getting me? I can improve. Can you say after me, I can improve? Psalm 25 verse 9 says, the meek will he guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his way. You know what a meek person is? Not somebody that drinks pink milk. The meek is somebody who is easy to say, I was wrong. And no, I can't. No, I didn't do it well. That's a meek person. Somebody who is willing to accept that, no, I was wrong. I can get better. That's not the right way to do it. A meek person. Not a hard person. Praise the Lord. Number two, you must decide that you will not resist the change that will birth greatness. You will not resist the change that will birth greatness. You know, when I was meditating on this, God showed me a prophetic story. Look at Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 1. Verse 1 to 6. We're going to read together. This thing is very serious on my heart, too. Very, very. What I'm sharing with you is very, very. Because I've been wondering. I've had questions. Why? And the Lord has been showing me, see, look at this. Until these things are sorted out, these people will not grow. They will never become greater than what they are. Please, apologize if today was longer than usual. It's our first service here. Amen. Let me tell you something here. What I'm sharing with you is the problem of this country. It's the problem of the country. When people are set in their ways, you are trying to tell them, how long are you going to be like this? No. It's the way it has been, so shall it be. Forever and ever. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Verse 3. Then I went to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Verse 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the land in the hand of the potter. And so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Verse 5. Now, before I go on, you know what a potter is, right? Someone who uses clay to make maybe cups, plates, pots, and all those kind of things. So he's a potter. He uses clay to do stuff. And then Jeremiah went there and saw this man. He would take the clay, mold it into a certain stuff. Then he said he doesn't like it again. He would scatter it, take another one, mold it again, scatter it. And then the word of the Lord came to me saying, verse 6, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. Amen. I thought you would shout glory when you see that. As the clay is in the hand of the potter, so I am in the hand of the Lord. So he can say, son, I know you are doing great, but you can do better. And then I'll begin to mold you. Are you with me? But some people, they keep resisting. God is showing them this is their character. You are too rude. This your rudeness is making you crude. They say, no, that's what I be. That's what my voice be. God is trying to refine you. No, he said, no. Look at this. He says, can't I do to you the way this potter has been doing to the clay? Can't I look at you and mold you and say, no, there is a version of you I want to bend you into? And let me tell you something. If you don't respond in time, when God is trying to mold you into something, after a while, he will let you be. And when he lets you be, where he left you will be the limit of your greatness. That is the reason why some people, no matter what you want to do, they will never become a global importer and exporter. They will be the chief of their village. Because that is the... Are you with me? When God was trying to push them to break out and work on some things and be thoroughly furnished, they fought it. Let me show it to you in the Bible. Thank you, Jesus. Look at Genesis 6, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years old. Do you know that this verse is a thick verse? This verse. If you read the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 5 tells you that people lived up to 700 years, 900 years. Have you read Genesis chapter 5 before? People lived up to 800 years. Noah, 700 years. A time came, God said, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet, his days will now be 120. He will be pinned there. Because I will not fight him again. I have left him. Are you with me? So, when God has, when it's difficult for God to change you, he will let you be. And that will determine the limit of greatness. Genesis 8, verse 21. It says, and the Lord smelled. Let me be fast about that. Remember the flood. Genesis 8. You know, the Lord smelled the sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not curse again the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. Now see verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and winter, summer and cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. You know what God is saying? God intervened to clear up the earth because of man's failures and wickedness. At the point, God said, you know what? We cannot keep on intervening like this, bringing flood. We will leave them. Whatsoever they sow, they will reap. Are you getting me? I want us to pray. Jump on your feet. Were you blessed this morning? Say after me and say in the name of Jesus. The humility and meekness required to be thoroughly furnished is planted in me.